This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner and Florent Giroux clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby. Gone Runner wins going away.
Also sponsored by Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, and Washington Hay.
And Moore Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Destin and Creator, these two come down to the line together to post a goal. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up at Belmont Park, sitting in for the vacationing Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, joined in our Lexington studios by the Pontiff, Jude Feld, and our producer to the stars here at HRRN, my main man, Lee Delapina. Thanks for tuning in on a spectacular Saturday morning in New York. We have a 10-race card here at beautiful Belmont Park today. Horses training this morning. Could not be nicer here in New York. About 80 degrees today. Sun's out. There's not a cloud in the sky right now. I hope it is just as nice down in the bluegrass where Lee and Jude are sitting in our studios. What's happening, Jude?
It is absolutely gorgeous here today as well. I was thinking about it driving in. What a lovely day that it is. And sounds very similar to New York. Not a cloud in the sky. Lots of blue. It was nice seeing the lake on my drive in and a few horses in the fields. And just a really, really nice day here in the bluegrass.
Yeah, nothing like being at the racetrack on a morning like this as well. Pulled in a little early, took a quick trip through the historic backstretch here at Belmont Park just to get in the mood, just to set the mood a little bit. And was hanging out with Mike Vesey from the Daily Racing Form. He was clocking some horses this morning. And, nothing like being at the track in the morning. I don't do it often enough. Mike joked when I walked into the press box here at Belmont that there'll be no bigger long shot of the day than me walking in before 7:30.
Well, you know, being an old horse trainer, I'm used to getting up early, and I love to go out in the morning. I think it's the most beautiful time of day at the track, and something that I do at every opportunity. I wish I could do it more as well. But especially when the weather's nice. I'm not a big fan of going out there when it's snowing or that kind of thing. But if it's a nice day, it's always a great way to spend the morning, shoot the breeze with trainers and jocks and watch the horses go and maybe learn something along the way that you can use later on to make a few bucks with.
And it's a little different here at Belmont because you're so high. The building is just so enormous, and we're so high here at Belmont. You know, most racetracks, you're right on top of the action. The press box here is completely closed in. Windows do not open, so you don't hear the horses breathing through the lane and thundering through the lane during workouts. But it adds this peacefulness to it. And one of the things I was able to really take in this morning is the condition of the turf courses here. And we haven't had an abundance of rain And the turf courses, since they've opened here at Belmont earlier in April, the last weekend in April, the track records have been falling like flies. And you would think when you see track records like that just continuously go down, that at some point the course would be worn out. It's not the case here. Both courses look like they are in tremendous shape.
Yeah, the times have been inordinately fast. You would think it would be chewed up, that it was super, super hard, but it looks like there's plenty of grass on it when you see it on television, but you never know until you get your tootsies out there and walk it yourself. But, you know, I don't know. Do you have any explanation for the quickness of the times?
None. I wish I did. I wish I did. We had track records fall going 7 furlongs on consecutive days here. Elusive Qualities mile track record. They used to run the poker on Independence Day. And I remember being here when Elusive Quality set the track record 131.3, 131.63 to be exact. On back-to-back weekends, horses have come within a fraction of a second. Celestine, also trained by Belmont, missed by 1/100th of a second in the just a game on Belmont Day. And then just last week in the poker, which has now been moved to mid-June, late June, obviously came in from California and missed by 2/100th of a second. So not only are they falling, but some records, and you know, 131.3, that's not something you see every day. Well, we saw it twice in a week.
Yeah.
So...
Well, those are arguably two really good horses. I mean, and obviously is super, super fast. But yeah, it's a little crazy.
No question. And thankfully, it's been safe. Everybody's been coming back fine. And
yeah, that's the main thing.
That's the main thing. And it's not like it's put these horses in jeopardy, because it hasn't. I can't remember any incidents here, so it's been good. Knock wood, first couple of months, we've been treated some real nice turf performances here in New York. It's funny, we're talking about turf here in our opening segment. There's just one turf stake of note throughout the country this weekend. The Eatontown down at Monmouth Park, Grade 3. Isabella Sings figures to be one of the biggest favorites of the weekend across the country. But the conventional dirt is really the star of this weekend. And you and I will go over some stakes a little later on. But one of the races everybody will be keeping an eye on today is out at Thistle Downs. And we don't say that too often, that we're going to turn our attention to Ohio. Believe Land, if you will. I know Ed DeRose is down there, and he's all pumped. They've got their first championship in over 50 years. Cleveland did, with that Cavs win last Sunday in the NBA Finals. And the Ohio Derby, $500,000 on the line for the three-year-olds going 1 1/8. They drew a field of 10. You know, and while it lacks some star power, you certainly have some horses, some veterans of the Triple Crown Trail this year and some of the prep races. And like last weekend when you guys were at Churchill for Gunrunner and the Matt Wynn, and you know, he fired a pretty good salvo for the second half of the three-year-old year. Maybe one of these three-year-olds today in Ohio can rattle some cages moving forward in the second half of the season.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a pretty nifty little race. First of all, it's $500,000. I'm surprised more people didn't want to run in it. That's a lot of money. And you know, it's not a graded race, which is unfortunate. I mean, I think the field is at least a grade 3 quality field.
I would agree. I agree with that.
But, you know, Mo Tom, it's interesting because Tom Amos is a very good trainer. And I really thought this year he had his best chance ever to win the Derby. He usually has like a fringy Derby horse. And they usually, you know, run pretty good in the preps in Louisiana. And then Derby time, they're just not the right horse, you know. And I really thought this year Mo Tom was one of the right horses. I really thought with his great turn of foot, and it looked like he really, you know, had some of the horses in Louisiana over a barrel. And then he had that string of just terrible luck. And he never seemed to recover from that. I don't know if he didn't get better because he wasn't finishing in his races because he was running into blind switches and stuff. I don't know. But he never really panned out. But they've been pointing for this race for a long time. And at least a month they've been getting him ready for this race, and maybe even longer. So it'll be interesting to see if he actually shows up today. If that tremendous turn of foot and all the confidence that Tom Amos had in him, will come to the fore this afternoon. But there's other horses in the race that are pretty nice. Adventist, you look at him, he's no slouch. I mean, he's a pretty nice horse. I wouldn't mind owning Adventist, you know. And Decorated Soldier, Todd Pletcher, you know, he never wins any of these kind of races, does he, Todd Pletcher?
Johnny Velasquez taking dare I say, his first trip to Ohio. I mean, it could very well be. I don't know if Johnny's ever seen Ohio, to be honest with you.
I think he's ridden in this race before. I'm not sure, but, you know, this race always has a big purse, and usually it's at the time of year where some of the races in New York are not, the better races. They're maybe $100,000 or whatever, but it's always funny. I don't know if the jocks really love going out of town, but their agents sure like it. You hang up $500,000 and the agents will, they'll ride Francis the Mule if they got a shot at the $500,000 purse, you know. So
I was going to say, somebody could put a saddle on me and I'd be able to get a jock to go to Ohio
ride me. Absolutely. No question. It's
$500,000.
I'm excited for Thistledown to have this race and that they have attracted some nice horses, and I think it's going to be fun. I'm planning my whole day around it, actually.
And speaking of the Ohio Derby and some nice horses, that's our poll question this morning. We want to hear from you, HRN Nation. Who will win the 82nd running of the Ohio Derby today? Will it be Adventist, fourth last out in Peter Pan, who gets the blinkers off, and a new rider in Aaron Grider? Will it be Mo Tom, who also gets a new rider, defending three-time Eclipse Award winner for outstanding jockey Javier Castellano? Or will it be Decorated Soldier from the connections of Todd Pletcher and Hall of Famer John Velasquez? Or will it be somebody else? Maybe Wild About Deb jumps up and runs a big one. Or the local hope, Mo Don't Know, takes him gate to wire for my buddy Ron Pellucci over at Luch Racing Stables. Let us know. Head over to Twitter. Answer the poll question. Who will win today's Ohio Derby? Let's take a break. When we come back, Jude and I will talk a little bit about the older handicap division here in the U.S. Should be an interesting second half of the year in that division as well. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside, three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch to win it, Ginger Punch won it.
9 millionaires, including 5 multimillionaires.
Game on, dude, going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude, and Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Ghost Zephyr kicking clear, and Ghost Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Zapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, with the yearling sales fast approaching, we offer Fall of the Hammer coverage to buyers for their auction purchases.
Why is Fall of the Hammer so important?
When the auctioneer drops the gavel and the buyer signs a sale slip, ownership transfers. There is an immediate exposure to the buyer for the purchase price. By calling our office prior to the sale, we can arrange for immediate protection, so there is no gap in coverage.
Are there any other exposures?
Absolutely. There is liability exposure in the event the yearling should cause bodily injury or property damage to others. An equine owner's liability policy will provide just the right coverage. It's stuff like this that keeps me awake at night.
Thanks, Joe, for speaking with us today. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Eagles winding up, but is going five wide by the quarter pole. And then it's El Kabir, an international star, top of the stretch in the Foster. And it's Braidster in front. Braidster digging down for the final 3/16ths. But here comes Eagle on the outside with a relentless rally from the back of the pack. And Majestic Harbor fights on, and Are You Kidding Me Too? FNX Not Tonight. Down to the final 16th. Braidster still there. Braidster's the leader by one. Majestic Harbor and Eagle keep on coming, but so is the wire. Here's the finish. Braidster, wire to wire, fending off Eagle, Majestic Harbor, and El Kabir.
Travis Stone on the call of Stephen Foster last Saturday night. You heard it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Braidster took him gate to wire under Joe Bravo and has put himself in the older horse handicap picture in 2016. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna, joined, of course, by the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. A little later on this morning, we'll be joined by Dan Bork, the racing secretary over at Ellis Park. They will begin their meet next Saturday with a little bit of a revamped two-year-old program. And, of course, the highlight of the Ellis Park meet is the Grade 3 Groupie Doll, which will happen in the middle of their meet. John Siskos, the director of publicity from Woodbine, will join us in hour number two. Our neighbors to the north will have their biggest day, the Queen's Plate, next Sunday, July 3rd, and it'll be our second international broadcast of the year here at HRRN. Of course, Mike and Jude were down in Barbados for the Gold Cup in March. We'll head up for the Queen's Plate next Sunday. And Rajiv Miraj, a friend here to the Horse Racing Radio Network, you heard him on the Dubai World Cup night coverage back in late March. Rajiv will join us to give us a little bit of an update on how he's doing and when we can expect to see him back in the saddle. All this morning here on the show that launched the network, the Equine Forum. And we told you about Woodbine coming up. 2016 marks the 60th year anniversary of Thoroughbred Racing at Woodbine Racetrack, and the highlight of the meet is that 157th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing, and the longest continuously run stakes race in North America. The event is scheduled for next Sunday, July 3rd, and we will be there broadcasting live for the first time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. New this year and already in full swing is the Tipetta Racing Surface, which provides a consistent and safe track for handicappers, horses, and horsemen. They'll run live racing through December 4th, in addition to Million Dollar Plate Day. On the wagering side, Woodbine has introduced a new $1 15% low takeout rolling double, but that's not all. Try your luck with the Thoroughbred Pick 5, which is guaranteed at $50,000 Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And why not give the jackpot high five a go? There is huge potential for big pool payouts. For more information, visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. Looking forward to the trip up north, Jude?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I've never been to Woodbine. I'm very excited to go and see what it's all about. Everybody that's been there tells me I'm going to love it. It's right up my alley with the turf course on the outside and the dirt on the inside, the way all racetracks should be designed, in my opinion. Can you imagine Belmont Park if it was all grass on the outside and then had the dirt in the middle? How great would that be?
That would be pretty awesome. A traditional two-turn mile and a quarter race once around.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, be awesome.
Yeah. I like the way it's. Belmont's my favorite racetrack, so I'm sort of partial to the way it is. I love the chute. I like handicap and chute races, so I like the dirt chute here. But yeah, we actually Woodbine throws a little crimp into things here at Belmont because we can't say we have the three biggest courses in North America. We have to say United States because of that turf course up at Woodbine. It's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, I love turf racing, and I've always enjoyed the races at Woodbine, watching them on television. So I can't wait to get up there. And, of course, anytime you get to go to a different country and do a broadcast, that's pretty cool. We had a great time in Barbados, and I'm assuming the way everything's looking at Woodbine, we're going to have just as equally a good time. They've really bent over backwards to help us out and make sure we have everything we need up there to do the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
20th anniversary of the Breeders' Cup up at Woodbine. That classic, one of the more memorable ones, is Alphabet Soup won a three-horse photo over Louis Couture's and the Great Cigar, last race in Cigar's incomparable career. We'll be there next Sunday for the Queen's Plate, and of course John Sisko's director of publicity will join us a little later on in the show. When we came back from break, we heard Braidster winning that Stephen Foster last week. We had it for you here at HRRN, and you know, it made me think that when Braidster stretched out from his favorite distance of a mile to win going a mile and an eighth, it made me question this handicap division, Jude. And, you know, off the top of my head, you got California Chrome and Frosted. And, of course, Frosted, we were here for Belmont Stakes Day. Just one of the most breathtaking performances you'll ever see at a racetrack, period. Forget about division. And we're treated so far this year to some pretty spectacular divisions in this country. The first one that comes to mind are the three-year-old filly, Songbird, Karina Mia, Catherine Sophia, Go Maggie Go, Land Oversea. You got Catch a Glimpse on the turf. You got Kieran's filly, Karina, sprinting. So you got a loaded three-year-old filly division. The three-year-old males, while a lot of people knock maybe just how spectacular it is, it's very deep. I think you have a lot of horses, and I think it's a pretty good bunch. But you know, you got a plenty of horses who I think are going to develop and make it for an interesting second half. Unfortunately, I don't think we could say the same about this handicap division.
Well, you know, it's not maybe as bad as it looks at first glance. Obviously, California Chrome, the leader right now, he's training magnificently, and we know how much talent he has. Then you got a horse like Dortmund laying in the weeds. You know, he's had his issues off and on with his feet, and Bob finally turned him out. Now he's coming back and training well, and seems to be headed in the right direction. And that's a horse that has tons of talent. He's pretty nice. Let's not forget Beholder. I mean, I think you have to include her in that group. Now, she's a filly, but she made mincemeat out of the boys last year in the Pacific Classic, one of the most amazing races I've ever seen a horse of any sex run. I thought it was just an overpowering performance. So, you look at those horses, and then you've got horses running today. We'll see how that race pans out. Opportunities running. Another Baffert, Hard Ace is a hard knocking horse, maybe not quite as good as the rest, but he always seems to be there or thereabouts. So, it's not really that bad. I mean, you could easily come up with 8 or 10 horses that could have a big chance on any given day.
I think Melatonin's the horse that can really take advantage of what I think is perceived to be a little bit of a watered down division. Would a win today, it would give him two wins, two grade ones, two at a mile and a quarter. I think if Melatonin can win today out in the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, it would certainly make him a big player in the division. I was hoping my boy Eagle would soar last Saturday night and finally shake some of that bridesmaid, never a bride kind of thing. He's won his share of races, but it always seems that the big one eludes him. I thought that he was going to get a good setup last Saturday night, and he did, and he came running. He just fell about three parts of a length short. But he's a horse I've been waiting for to come around for a while now, and maybe his second half of the year is something we could take notice of. And another one I'm waiting for, and this is going to be no surprise to our loyal listeners here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, but Mubtaij. Yes, I'm still talking about Mubtaij. Mubtaij is set to make his debut for Kieran McLaughlin in the July 9th Suburban here, part of Stars and Stripes Day at Belmont Park. And was talking with Kieran last week when I was hosting breakfast at Belmont, and he let me in on a little secret that Mubtaij will be running on Lasix for the first time in the Suburban. So looking forward to seeing how he reacts to running on Lasix for the first time. He trained him, it's sort of a weird circumstance there, because the plan right now is for Mubtaij to go back to Michael de Kock after his U.S. campaign. And de Kock is, I don't want to say adamant, but he does not use any medication here in the U.S. unless he absolutely needs to. Certainly doesn't use Lasix unless it's absolutely necessary. But Kieran got the go-ahead. He worked him on Lasix, and he's going to run on Lasix for the first time. And I don't know what it is about that horse. I feel like he's got a big one with his name on it somewhere, and maybe with Kieran's tutelage, not to take anything away from Mike de Kock, but, I've always been a big believer when in Rome, if you're going to stay in the U.S., you should probably have a trainer who is one of the best in U.S. racing, and he certainly has that now in Kieran McLaughlin.
Yeah, no, he's a very talented horse, and he's, showed glimmers of brilliance along the way. So it's nice for Kieran to have a horse of that quality and in the division that Kieran excels in, really. The older horse division, he's done quite well in those races. But if you're going to talk about Mubtaij, then I'm going to throw a plug in for El Kabir. I was encouraged by El Kabir's performance.
He ran well last week.
He I really liked him as a three-year-old. I thought he was one of the ones, and unfortunately he got hurt and didn't get to perform in the Triple Crown. But that horse, he's impressive, and he tries hard. And, he's had a long road back. But he finally showed a little gumption in the Stephen Foster. And I thought, wow, that's great for John and Tanya. This horse has kind of turned the corner now, and maybe he can do some good. And it wouldn't surprise me if he had a pretty decent second half of the year, because it looks like now they've got him headed in the right direction. They had him in a race on Belmont Day. They scratched him. I actually saw him work. I think he worked like 3/4 in 12 for the Stephen Foster. And, you know, just starting to put it all together again and getting some confidence in himself. I think he kind of was a little bit down on himself a little bit. And so John and Tanya seemed to think that, you know, he was really coming around, and they were very optimistic going into the Stephen Foster, and he ran well. So I'm looking for him to improve. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, a big nemesis for California Chrome, but I think he could do some damage in some of the other races around the country.
Well, we'll see if a horse like El Kabir or Moub Taij can step up in the division, or if horses like California Chrome and Beholder can add to their legend in the second half of 2016. Speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
There have been performances by horses on the racetrack that bear more than considerable note, and there have been horses of the same milk over a period of time. This is a story of a combination of both, a horse and a performance that are five-star in every category. Quote, "It won't be the same on Saturdays without Kelso Willett," said the fat man. That perfunctory statement sums up the whole story. The story of Kelso and the Jockey Club Gold Cup run on the Saturday of Halloween in October of 1964. It was a golden autumn day for a golden thoroughbred, 51,000 fans on hand at Belmont Park, Long Island's grand dame of racing. They had come to pay homage to one in a million as a horse. People had waited 40 years for Kelso. There had been nothing like him since Exterminator in the 1920s, and Man-O-War of the same vintage. All there were great horses in the interim: Gallant Fox, Citation, Equipoise, Discovery, Native Dancer, Cavalcade, Count Fleet, 20 Grand, Armed Swaps, and Tom Fool, to recount just a few. There were some that occupied a very special place in the hearts of racing fans: the beloved Seabiscuit, War Admiral, Whirlaway, Alsab, Stymie, and Carryback, just to name a few. None had that rare and indefinable quality of absolute excellence of Exterminator, Man of War, and now Kelso. His greatest single contribution to racing was in being a hero, a role model to be loved and admired. Not because of physical beauty, since he was actually underweight, and he was awkward and often seemed ill at ease. He was sort of like a homely girl who had donned her very best party dress but was doomed as a wallflower. He had a lackluster coat, and no matter what they tried to do to dress him up, as it were, he was still just plain old Kelso. You had to shake your head at Kelly, because you could never imagine him to be a champion among champions. The Jockey Club Gold Cup was virtually a permanent trophy of his, and he'd won it 4 years in a row. Unheard of, but here he was trying to make it 5 in a row at the age of 7 over the grueling 2-mile distance. This was to be the last race run in New York for him. After some 1 3/4 miles of the Great Classic, he was second, right behind the dead-game little Roman brother who'd given it all he'd had. Then Milo Valenzuela made his move aboard Kelso, and he charged at the leader. There was no need for the crowd to vent an encouraging "Come on, Kelly," as they'd done when he waged his stretch battles with Iron Peg in the Suburban and Gunbo in the Woodward. It was all over at the quarter pole, and everybody there knew it. And then an awesome thing happened. The 51,000 on hand went eerily silent for a moment, and then, just as woe on cue, 102,000 hands began to clap in unison, hands beating rhythmically in time with Kelso's stride, cadence clapping a la European style for admiration of something special. It was like a Mahler concerto of human emotion. Kelso crossed the wire a winner in his fifth consecutive Jockey Club Gold Cup in a time of 3:19 and 1, a new track and American record for 2 miles. There was a wistful sadness inherent in the lengthening shadows of that fall afternoon. Summer was taking its last breath. Winter's frostiness lay just around the corner. The world would grow older, and so would Kelso. Like the fat man said, it won't seem like Saturday without Kelso. No, and there probably will never be another Saturday like that one, October 27, 1964, when Kelly won his fifth straight Jockey Club Gold Cup in what may very well have been the single greatest moment in all of thoroughbred racing's marvelous history.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Power.
A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by three.
Passion.
A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's five lengths clear at the eighth pole.
Performance.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex. A champion on the racetrack, now a proven sire with 52 black type horses, 13 graded winners, 30 black type winners, and progeny earnings of $32 million. His seven Grade 1 winners include Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, Travers winner of Fleet Express, and Charleray, a game winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. On the racetrack, a Fleet Alex was a precocious two-year-old, winning his first four starts, including the Grade 1 Hopeful. At three, he dominated the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, winning by a combined 11 and three-quarter lengths. A Fleet Alex, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
To the top of the lane they come, and Fioretti has made every call thus far. Fioretti off the turn in front by four. Pistol Pack and Penny rallying to the outside. Up the fence, here comes Sky Girl. And down the center of the track, Pearl turned less than a 16th. It's Fioretti trying to hold. Pistol Pack and Penny lunging. Call Pat running on from the back. Down toward the line, Fioretti. Call Pat up! Call Pat up in the shadow of the wire to take the 34th running of the Groupie Doll Stakes. Exciting edition of the Groupie Doll Stakes. Call Pat came from absolutely last to get up in the shadow of the wire.
It used to be the Gardenia, now it's the Groupie Doll, and it was won last year by Call Pat down in Henderson, Kentucky at Ellis Park. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, sitting in for the vacationing Baron Mike Pena, joined as always on Saturday morning by the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. And Jude, just to put a little bow on our conversation from last segment, speaking of that older horse division, California Chrome worked this morning. 1-12-2 for 6 furlongs last quarter, and 23-4 according to Jeremy Ballin of the Blood Horse.
Wow. Well, there you go. When's he running?
He'll be running next in the San Diego.
The San Diego at Del Mar.
Yes, at Del Mar. I believe it's opening weekend or the second weekend at Del Mar. 4 weeks from today. Everybody was all pumped up last night on Twitter about how Chrome will be running 4 weeks from today. So 4 weeks from today, I believe, is the 23rd. Mm-hmm. So
A month away, basically.
That's right. From California, we go to Kentucky. And nice enough to join us now for a few minutes on the Equine Forum is Dan Bork, the racing secretary at Ellis Park, which will begin their meet next Saturday, a week from today. We don't have to wait 4 weeks for Ellis Park. We just got to wait a week. Dan, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. How are you guys? I was going to tell you, I think I'm thinking about hanging an extra up for California Chrome. I might be able to get him to come race at Ellis. I'm not sure.
that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You could
Chrome could shine in the pea patch.
Yeah.
Make the Cliff Gilliams a mile and an eighth and
move it to the dirt.
Move it to the dirt. $2 million purse.
Right, right.
I like your style.
Right? Uh-huh. Dan, I thought that was a great gesture last year, renaming the Gardenia the Groupie Doll.
Yeah, she got her start there. She won as a 3-year-old in the race. She ran in it 2 times. I mean, her resume just says enough right there. You know, she's one of the best horses ever raced at Ellis. So I thought it was kind of a no-brainer, and everybody else kind of agreed, so. Buff, his family, had been a big supporter of the racetrack forever. And we thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, well-received, one of the more popular fillies we've seen in the last decade or so. You guys got to be getting fired up. You're just a week away from opening day and have done a really good job down there. I know there's been a big influx in purse money. You're up over 30% from last year, from 155 a day to 210,000 a day.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, and the feedback so far from the horsemen has been great. I think, like you said, if we go up from 150 to over 200, that makes a big difference in people's decisions on what they're going to do during the summer. A lot more people are going to stick around at Churchill, you know, maybe not send them as many to Saratoga, maybe leave a few more back here. Not send any, you don't have to go to Delaware, you don't have to go to Milan. Stick in the area and race with us. So it's kind of like, I want Ellis to be their first choice. You know, guys that are in Louisville and Lexington, their first choice, maybe not Arlington, their first choice, or maybe not Indiana Downs, but look at us first. You know, we're running 3 days, so they can't get everything in with us, but they can get a large portion of their horses in. So I think it's great that we're our purses are where they are. I think if we keep it going like this, it's only going to get better for next year.
Well, one guy that made a decision to stick around is Corey Lannery, and that's certainly a plus for Ellis Park, but maybe the other jocks aren't so happy about that.
Well, I mean, it's like you said, that's a plus for Ellis. It's a plus for the horsemen. It gives them another option that, you know, if they have their better horses here, they want some of the best riders here. And that colony is going to be great. I mean, we've got Corey and Alvarado. It's just the transition right from the great colony that's here at Churchill now. The majority of them are staying. So, and it's good for everybody. They're at home. They got families. It's kind of makes it easy on them. The family has them at home every night and not shipping off to the east. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, Brian Hernandez will be in that. Junior will be in that colony. John Court, when he returns from his recent injury, will be there hopefully midway through the Ellis Park meet. Cisco Torres, Miguel Mena, Channing Hill, who just won his 1,000th race, and looks like Jimmy Graham as well.
Yep, Jimmy Graham, our leading rider from last year, Didio, he's banned. So, we've got a great, great colony there, and if hopefully the horses will be just as strong. We'll get a great meet.
Ellis Park has such a rich tradition of racing, and I got to tell you, the best summer of my life was 1978 when I first went to Ellis Park and was working for the Daily Racing Form. I had the best time of my life, and I think if fans make the effort to go there, they're going to really see how enjoyable it is to be at Ellis Park and what it has to offer. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, it is a neat place. It's very laid back. It's kind of got that fair type of atmosphere to it. You know, besides the horse racing, we got a lot of other stuff going on. Camels and ostriches and wiener dog races, and there's something cooking every day. So it's a lot of fun during the summer. You're right.
Yeah. How does one go about getting an ostrich race to come to Henderson, Kentucky?
That's a good question. I don't know, but they come every year.
I guess they're not hard to fill, huh?
No, they're not. The better question is, how do you get jockeys to ride them? And the funny thing is, these guys, they love riding them. You know, Corey, he's our leading rider on them over the past few years. He had one a couple of years ago where he might even made Sports Center. He fell off this ostrich halfway through the race, ran next to him, and then ends up jumping back on him. So I think if it was a real horse,
wow,
he would have got the acute, but you know, we let it go on the
Anything goes. I heard anything goes in those ostrich races.
Oh yeah, it's fun. I wouldn't get on one, but those guys, they love it.
They don't want me to get on one. Believe the ostrich sees me, they put their head right into the sand. Don't worry about that. Dan Bork.
Get on one there, right?
Talking to Dan Bork, racing secretary at Ellis Park. Their meet starts next Saturday. Dan, one of the other things you guys are doing down at Ellis this year is, I don't want to say revamping, but or resurrecting, but the two-year-old program going to be strong. A couple of added juvenile stakes for this meet. Talk a little bit about the two-year-old picture.
Well, actually, we just added the one Ellis Park juvenile back this year. It's a $75,000 race. So it is eligible for black type. It was definitely one of the first things that we wanted to get reinstated, kind of get rebuilded with our little added money. So, it's important to have it. This time of year, all the number of two-year-olds that are just getting ready and hitting the track. So we've got a lot of good ones that come out of there, and I thought it was really important that we have a little stakes program. And this is the first year of it. Next year, I hope to add more, get the filly race in. And then as we go along, there's so many more opportunities for us. Our stakes schedule is, there's so much more room in it to do a lot more with. So if we have a great meet, if the money's doing well, we got to handle stuff. Next year, it's going to even be better. So we just want to get a little momentum going in, and hopefully it rolls into next year as well.
All right, well, you guys run from July 2nd through September 5th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yep. And then, obviously, July 4th this week, we start Saturday, and we run Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we're racing Monday, July 4th.
All right, so we
and
start
then we
the action.
Go all the way to Labor Day, so finish it up with the Cliff Gilliams.
All right, so it starts next Saturday. Head over to Ellis Park Racing on Twitter to get more information. We've been speaking with their racing secretary, Dan Bork. Dan, thanks for some time this morning. Good luck down at Ellis this summer.
Yeah, hope to see you guys down there. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, thanks, Dan. Dan Bork from Ellis Park. Let's take a break. When we come back, more Thoroughbred Racing here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No, seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
fast.
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great Pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
A Grade 1 winner at 2 and fastest winner of the Grade 1 Cash Call Futurity in nearly 20 years.
Into Mischief wins the Cash Call Futurity!
The sire of 3 Kentucky Derby colts from his first 2 crops, including
Golden Sense, the more they asked, the more he gave.
The Louisiana Derby to the Louisiana Bred, Vickers in Trouble!
Into Mischief's biggest and best book of 2-year-olds is coming in 2016. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Past the eighth pole, and once again Songbird has left them chasing shadows. This glamour filly is treating her rivals with absolute contempt. It's another pitch-perfect performance by Songbird.
Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer has taught the amazing Songbird to rate, and that spells trouble for her competition the rest of the year, as she ran her unbeaten streak to 8 in the Grade 2 Summertime Oaks at Santa Anita last Saturday. That made her the Darley Stallion's Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Medaglia d'Oro's Eclipse champion and undefeated daughter Songbird is the best 3-year-old filly in North America. Her sire's future remains very bright, as 92 graded stakes winners or dams of graded stakes winners visited him this year, including former Horse of the Year Zenyatta. For more information on Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Danish Dynaforma right around the outside as they head for home in the Queen's Plate. Conquest Boogaloo's running on, and Charmin Ghost, but it's Danish Dynaforma and Billy Star. Charmin Ghost down the outside, and coming home well is still Conquest Boogaloo. Charmin Ghost chasing Danish Dynaforma. Danish Dynaforma, Charmin Ghost. And Charmin Ghost takes the Queen's Plate, a length. Danish Dynaforma second, Conquest Boogaloo third, and back fourth, Billy Star.
Charmin Ghost won the 2015 Queen's Plate up at Woodbine. Who will take the first leg of the Canadian Triple Crown next Sunday? Up in Toronto. You'll find out right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. I'm Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Jude Feld, as always, along for the ride here on a spectacular Saturday morning as the sprinklers have gone on here at Belmont. They're getting the turf course ready for another action-packed day of thoroughbred racing here in the Big Apple. So what do you do on a day like today, Jude? Where do you watch the races from?
From the friendly confines of my living room.
Okay.
Usually, I will spend some time in the garden, maybe fish a little bit on the lake, watch selected races that I'm interested in. And quite often, my wife has races, the Town and Country Farm, who she is employed by, has horses running. So we'll watch some of those as well. But usually a relaxing day Saturday after the show's over. Now, my work week is done.
Will you? Yeah, this is I'm a little out of sorts. Not only am I up way earlier than I normally am, but this working on Saturday. This is two Saturdays in a row between breakfast at Belmont and now filling in for Mike. And let's face it, you can never fill in for Mike, right? I'm just taking up some space here this week. Mike will be back. Mike will be back next week, everyone. Don't worry. Well, the Baron will be back.
That's if he comes back from Cancun. He may just decide to stay and open a bait shop. Who knows?
Does that mean I have to get up every Saturday morning?
Well, one more. If you do it one more Saturday, they say it takes 3 weeks to make or break a habit. So one more Saturday, and then you'll just be used to it. So you only got one more to go. You might as well do it, you know? One of the races.
You know what's funny?
What?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, one of the races that's interesting today is the Irish Derby. Did you know the Irish Derby was today?
You know, I just found out on Twitter that it looks like post time is going to be right around 12:20 Eastern.
That's correct. 100.
I did not. Go ahead.
150 years. It started in 1866, the Irish Derby. And our friend Michael Hernan from Gainsway Farm, the Gainsway Sales, actually has a horse in the Irish Derby. A horse, Red Verdon, was a Gainsway Sales graduate.
Point me to the windows. If there's a Tappet in the race, I'm all in.
I think he's a Lemon Drop kid. But anyway, that'll be fun.
That's fine.
But that race is such a great race. Jack Hobbs, Australia, Camelot, Treasure Beach, Cape Blanco. They've all won the Irish Derby, Irish Derby. I want to tune into that, too. That'll be one that I certainly want to watch at 12:20.
I was going to say, you better be careful with your Twitter page now. You called it the Irish Derby, not the Derby. And I might get a lot of flack for this, but I feel like one of my flaws, imagine that, I think I have a flaw. I don't really have any flaws, just ask my mom. I feel like one of my flaws is I don't think I pay enough attention to international racing. And I feel like that's because we have so much going on here, you know, especially doing the weekday shows. And it's not really – I'm making excuses, but especially doing the weekday shows, it's more responsible of me to pay more attention to the – daily goings on around here and down at Gulfstream, you know, the tracks we cover a lot on Express Bet Radio, than to really add to my plate internationally. But if there's one part of my game I need to brush up on a little bit, it's the international flair.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Americans in general sometimes kind of think that the world is just the United States. And the world's gotten so much smaller now with air flight for horses being better and quicker and easier. So I think as the game is evolving, international racing is taking a little bit more of a forefront. Like, look at all the excitement from Ascot last week. And, you know, people love going to the Ark. They loved going to the Barbados Gold Cup and races all over the world. Hong Kong, huge. Japan, Singapore. I mean, these places that have great racing programs and people are interested in traveling and going racing. Australia. I mean, who doesn't want to go to the Melbourne Cup, you know?
You sound like Acacia Courtney's travel agent right now.
Yeah, well, that's not every. She lives in rarefied air, no pun intended. But you know, that's a great gig if you can get it. I think to go to racetracks all over the world. I mean, I'm very pleased to be going to racetracks all over the United States and broadcasting the races. And now we're branching out a little bit internationally, and that's a good thing, I think, because the world is kind of headed that way. And you know, as some of the racetracks in the United States close, which is inevitable, it gives people that are interested in our sport other opportunities if they're willing to branch out and take a trip. You know, I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Dubai for the World Cup? I mean, all these places that the races are just outstanding, and it's such an event at some of the major venues. So, a lot of fun.
I almost conned my way into a trip to Australia in 2001. Phil Mott had a grade one winner named Hap. I'm sure you remember Hap.
I do. We
that
had
blonde mane and tail was just phenomenal. I one of the prettiest horses I had ever looked at. And Billy Mott, you know, pretty much came to the realization that he was at his best the tweener. He didn't want the mile and a half, and he probably wasn't at his best at a mile. And Mr. Paulson wanted to go to the Cox Plate, which is a mile and a quarter down in Australia. And I had talked to Billy about it, and I was gonna tag along, and I went to my bosses at the Post, and you know, it wasn't gonna be that difficult to sway Rupert Murdoch to let me go down to Australia to cover this race, especially back then. You know, the paper was making money hand over fist, and unfortunately, 9/11 hit, and the trip for Hap was canceled. Obviously, my trip was canceled, but I had never been, and I still to this day have not been on an airplane. I was ambitiously going to make my first trip to Australia.
Wow, that's a little bit of a culture shock there. That's a long flight for your first one.
Well, you will get to go up to Woodbine on next weekend for the Queen's Plate. When we come back, we will have John Sisko's from Woodbine to talk about the Queen's Plate, and a little later on in hour number two, Rajiv Miraj will join us to give us an update on his rehab from his injury sustained last year in a spill here at Belmont Park. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby!
Brody's Paws at the 16th pole, chased by Kerry Wine. My man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Paws in front. Brody's Paws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. I am up at beautiful Belmont Park down in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. It's the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, along with our producer to the stars here at HRRN, the man, the myth, the legend, Lee Della Pina. Thanks for tuning in on a spectacular Saturday morning. Already had Dan Bork on from Ellis Park. Hour number two features my main man, Rajiv Miraj. He will join us a little later on in hour number two to talk a little bit about how he is coming along from some pretty serious injuries he suffered last year here in a spill at Belmont Park. Last July, in fact, almost a year since Rajiv has been out of the saddle. Hopefully we'll see him back soon. He'll give us a little update on his condition. And right now, we are joined by John Siskos, the director of publicity up at Woodbine Racetrack in Toronto, where next Sunday they will run the Queen's Plate for the 157th consecutive time. John, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's a very exciting time of year for us up here. The weather has been glorious so far this summer, and we've got, eight more days to worry about it. But we're very excited. It's the granddaddy of them all. There's no other way to diminish its value. It's certainly a special thing.
157 consecutive runnings, John. The longest continuously run stakes race in North America. That's a nice little feather in your cap up there at Woodbine.
Yeah, we're looking forward to you guys coming up here as well. It's very exciting. That's one of the more exciting things. I was on with Mike earlier in the year, and he had relayed that was an exciting thing for him. But horse racing history does well for horse racing, and certainly it's part of our promotional and parts of the Queen's Plate that are very valuable. It's its history, 157 straight years. This is older than the country itself, and we play on that a little bit. I mean, we're a much more contemporary organization now, but you can't deny some of the horses that have won this race, including Northern Dancer and Dance Smartly, and horses that everybody worldwide have heard of.
Yeah, it's a very historic race, and I can tell you, I am just delighted to be headed your way. I mean, I've been looking forward to going to the Queen's Plate all year long since you guys invited us to come up, and it's just going to be a big thrill to go to Woodbine. I've never been there before, and I've always wanted to go, so I'm looking forward to it. I was reading your barn notes from yesterday, and you've got 14 horses scheduled to run. It looks like an unbelievable race this year.
Yeah, I don't see a dominant horse in the race. So with that, it becomes an outstanding betting race. You guys quite clearly understand that. We got a bunch of horses that are in the mid 80s, high 80s on the buyer scale, and any one of a handful are going to make this leap forward and run that big race and be hailed as this champion. But you can't go past the horses that won that were for 1-2 in the Plate Trial, and that would be Amiz Gizmo and Shakamat. They're both absolutely live horses. And then the horse that I kind of like in there at this juncture is a horse called Leave 'Em in Malibu, who is a Mark Cassie horse that, looks like he's sort of a running fool kind of horse. And if he's able to sort of settle down, and he worked this morning, by the way, and he's able to settle down and with smooth strides, he'll be really live there at a small little price.
You mentioned Dance Smartly, of course, a filly winning the Queen's Plate. Lexi Liu did it just 2 years ago. I noticed you have the second and third place finishers out of the Woodbine Oaks in Crumlin Spirit, who was third, and Gamble's Ghost, who was second.
Yeah, I think Gamble's Ghost, it's funny, social media is so prevalent these days. I'm pretty sure that we'll find out. It won't come from our office that we'll find out about the status of Gamble's Ghost in the actual race. Josie Carroll has been, the horse worked yesterday, and Josie Carroll has talked about how she is making a decision on her over the next 24 hours type thing. And she's a very talented horse. Got a little bit of a rough trip in the Oaks, and was thought to be the best horse in the Oaks. And a logical step forward in the Plate made sense, but she hasn't made a decision yet. That's going to come down this weekend. If she does, she'll be very live, one of the top five favorites.
If you talk to Ken Ramsey, he'll tell you all about Sir Dudley Digges, and Sir Dudley Digges evidently was related to one of the kings of England and Mr. Ramsey, coincidentally. And he's been pointing to this race for some time. I mean, he really thinks he has a big chance at it, and he never met an international race he didn't like. He loves going to represent the United States whenever he can, and he's won stakes in Barbados and Italy and Lord knows where else, but he would really love to win the Queen's Plate.
Well, Siddhartha Diggs absolutely has an outside chance. He was third in the plate trial last time out and looked like he might have been gaining a little bit of ground late. Talking about Mr. Ramsey, he was up here for We Miss Hardy. I guess it would have been 2 years ago. He was the favorite for the Queen's Plate, and I remember him coming out on the turf course. Lexi Liu had won the race, high-profile horse now, obviously, in racing. Lexi Liu won the race, and him coming down and after We Miss Hardy had lost and being very disappointed. How many owners come down after a queen, after a big race, and sort of express his disappointment that his horse had lost, type of thing? I thought that was very sort of sporting, very competitive of him. And, he might turn the tables this time around. Sir Dudley Diggs is had that couple-of-month layoff there before he ran in the plate trial. You know, there's no question he gets the mile and a quarter, Gio Ponti, out of the Chris S. mare. And he'll be live. I mean, he'll take lots of action, especially with Mike Maker as a trainer.
Talking to John Siskos, the director of publicity up at Woodbine. They'll have the Queen's Plate next Sunday. We'll have it for you live right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Our coverage begins at 4 p.m. John, Jude and Mike and the crew will be up there. They don't take me into Canada. They're probably afraid I won't get back across the border. But what can they expect up in Woodbine, at Woodbine, for as far as the pageantry and some of the traditions of the Queen's Plate?
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. We're trying something a little bit different this year. We're adding a concert series, a multi-musician concert series. There's three main bands, Canadian bands, who may have gotten some mainstream American attention. But the headliner is a band called Headley, who's had a couple of hits. Again, Canadian band. Matthew Good is also another prominent Canadian band. And the Strombellas, who have a popular song in American mainstream music right now called Spirits. And they're going to play a concert after the Queen's Plate. But we also have bands playing throughout the card at a paddock area that is being housed for concerts now. And their names are there are Andrew Hyatt, Rivertown Saints, Emerson Street Rhythm Band, and the Pick Brothers Band. So what you'll see is this. Think of certainly don't think of the Kentucky Derby at that level, but at our level, you'll see this pageantry and this fashion and this music and this, you know, this love for these the experience of going to a horse race. You'll see that very prominent at the Queen's Plate. What I think we've done is got a plan in place, for the horse racing fan, just so they know we're going to try and convert some of those experience type people to try and become horse racing fans with offers of, hey, free bet. Come and try the sport while you're here for the concert and you're here for the food trucks and you're here for the fashion and you're here for this and that and red carpet walking and things like that. So, you'll see. You'll be interested because I certainly will be too.
Well, it's the Queen's 90th birthday. Any chance she might show up?
I don't know. Not this year. Lieutenant Governor is the royal representative this year. Next year is 2017, of course, and it's the 150th Queen's Plate. 150th year of Canada's sovereignty, having been launched in 1867. So we'll see next year. I don't think she's going to come, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what's in mind for next year.
There'll be a couple other stakes on the card next Sunday. The Highlander, which is a great two for three-year-olds and up, going six furlongs on the turf, as well as the Dan Smartly, named four.
Yeah, I mean, they look like, they're always end up being good races. The key this year, what we've done is we're offering, the horsemen have to enter for both the Saturday and the Sunday card on the Wednesday. So hopefully we'll have tremendous races for our Plate Day card. You know, fans, and fans, if they want to watch the draw for the Queen's Plate. It is available online at queensplate.com. I think people get a real kick out of watching who gets what draw, especially if it's online, and that's Wednesday morning.
All right, where can we catch that?
I'm sorry?
Where can we catch the draw?
Yes, queensplate.com is where you can see it, and you can follow us on Twitter at, just search on at Woodbine Racing. If you need to get a hold of me, search John Siscos on Twitter. We're prominent with our social media these days. It's multi-layered now. You're talking about not only the racing, but the fashion, the music, just the overall hoopla. I think it's a very exciting time for us, and we're really looking forward to you guys coming up next Sunday.
All right, John, we appreciate some time this morning. Good luck next Sunday with the 157th running of the Queen's Plate. HRRN, we'll see you next weekend.
Looking forward to it. Take care, gentlemen.
Take it easy, John.
They're fired up north, Todd Jude.
Yeah, which is great. I love it when people are excited that HRRN is coming to town. It's always fun to go to a new track, and I think this is really exciting from a personal standpoint, and the race looks really, really good this year. So I'm pumped. I can't wait to get up there.
You think they're excited for Mr. Ramsey to be there because of the handle?
Well, that never hurt. I know they've got some special bets going on. They've got some lower takeout bets, and it's going to be a great day. And I think that's really smart to take double entries, take Saturday and Sunday, and then they can pick the absolute best races for Queen's Plate Day. And of course, we'll have a Pope Jude sheet for Queen's Plate Day, as well as our regular Saturday sheet. So it'll be a lot of fun to handicap those races, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I remember last year. I think it was last year. I was here at Belmont, and if I'm not mistaken, they have three stakes as part. There's four stakes on the card. There's the Queen's Plate, and then the Highlander, the Dance Smartly, and the Singspiel. They're all scheduled for Sunday, at least in the condition book and the stakes schedule on Woodbine Entertainment.com. Now, I don't know if they'll move some of the stakes around or not, depending on the draw. But if I recall last year, at least three of the races of the Pick Four were stakes races. And I remember seeing here at Belmont, you could play that Pick Four for 20 cents.
Yeah, they have 20 cent minimums on the Pick Four, so you can put in a rather large sheet if you're feeling up to
it. Talk about a spread, huh?
Yeah,
I'm not a proponent of the ABC method, but you can get to like G or H at that point. I believe.
Well, I think you just cents. At 20 cents, you just play a gorilla ticket. You don't worry about handicapping your handicapping. You just go for the downs, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's when you just start throwing them in, and that's how you catch the big tickets.
That's right.
Why I love those smaller incremental wagers. It's a good way to make some money, and I've hit plenty of 50 cent pick fours and pick fives that I wouldn't have hit if they were a buck or two. So hopefully we'll be able to get involved and be able to head over to Pope Jude to get that special Sunday edition of the Pope Jude sheet four. The Queen's Plate. Jude will be there with Mike Penna and the rest of the HRRN team as we head north of the border for our second international broadcast of the year. Starts at 4 p.m. next week right here, Sunday, July 3rd, on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Far From Over victorious in return. In his first start in more than 16 months, Black Rock Thoroughbreds, Mattaket Stables, and James Covello's Far From Over kept his undefeated record intact in a June 24th allowance race at Belmont Park. Son of Blame won the Grade 2 Withers in February of 2015 and was training towards the Grade 1 Wood Memorial when he was knocked off the Triple Crown Trail with a non-displaced condylar fracture in his left hind leg. On Friday at Belmont, in the one-turn mile in the 16th main track test, Far From Over settled into fourth on the outside early behind Blazing Fractions, moved to the rail late in the turn, and outfinished two rivals to win by 1.5 lengths. The Todd Fletcher-trained 4-year-old Bridgeling now has a 3-for-3 record with one win apiece at age 2, 3, and 4. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Just a reminder, Blood Horse Daily briefs you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have the PDF emailed to you in the daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today. Visit bloodhorse.com/daily. Time for a break. When we come back, Rajiv Miraj will join us here on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop had been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off to New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Claiborne Farm presents Blame. A 3-time Grade 1 winner with earnings over $4.3 million. Blame's historic victory over Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup Classic solidified his Eclipse Award as champion older male. At stud, Blame was the leading second crop sales sire with yearlings bringing up to $600,000 and the leading second crop sire with 8 graded stakes horses, including 2015 winners March, Onus, and Far From Over. Blame at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Racing fans, come on out to the Great Race Place for the Grade 1 Gold Cup at Santa Anita. Won by the immortal Seabiscuit under 133 pounds in 1938, the prestigious Gold Cup, to be run at a mile and a quarter, will highlight an outstanding card that also includes the Grade 1 Triple Bend at 7 furlongs. As always, we offer free infield general admission and parking. First post time is at 1:30. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of 3 Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Moving toward the top of the stretch, it's Tisway. Tisway has taken the lead with 5/16 of a mile to go. Rail Trip comes roaring up on the outside. Friend or Foe trying to hang in there toward the rail. Rodman has dropped back, flat out, down toward the inside. He comes off the rail for Running Room. Headache coming through an opening toward the rail. Rail Trip is there. Giant Oak coming with giant strides. Still has a lot to do. The Met Mile winner's in front. Tisway's got a three-length lead. Flat Out's coming after him. It is Tisway in front and Flat Out. And Tisway was terrific.
The one and only Tom Durkin on the call of the 2011 Whitney. Tisway got the money that day. Ridden by my man, Rajiv Miraj. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna, joined, as always, on Saturday morning by Jude Feld. We just heard from John Siskos, the Director of Publicity, up at Woodbine. They are getting ready for the highlight of the meet. At Woodbine, it's the 157th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing, and the longest continuously run stakes race in North America. They'll run it next Sunday, July 3rd, and HRRN will be there live for the very first time, our second international broadcast of the year. This is the 60th year anniversary of Thoroughbred Racing at Woodbine Racetrack, and the Tepeda racing surface is already in full swing. It's providing a consistent and safe track for handicappers, horses, and horsemen alike. In addition to Queen's Plate Day, Woodbine will host a total of 133 race days in 2016, right up until December 4th. On the wagering side, Woodbine has introduced the new $1 15% low takeout rolling doubles wager. That's what Jude was talking about before. And that's not all. Try your luck with the Thoroughbred Pick 5, which is guaranteed on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays at $50,000. And give the Jackpot High 5 a try. It's got huge potential for big pool payouts. For more information, visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. We heard Tisway on the rejoin. Jude, if you ever had the pleasure of going to Rajiv's home and getting roped into one of those Hold'em tournaments that he likes to have on Monday nights, you will see a very, very large picture of Tisway in the basement of the Mirage household here in Nassau County. And I know, along with Groupie Doll, Tisway near and dear to his heart.
Yeah, well, it's he's a horse that Rajiv kind of made his name with, and one thing I never want to do is get in a poker game with Rajiv Miraj or Kieran McLaughlin, for that matter.
Listen, let me tell you something. The Colonel's a good poker player. Okay, Kieran is a very good poker player, and if Kieran's listening, he knows he is one of my favorite people, not only in this sport but on the entire planet. And interstellarly as well. I saw Independence Day Resurgence last night, and I don't know if there's anybody else out there beyond the stars, but Kieran's one of my favorite people, period. Let's just put it like that. He can't hold a candle to our next guest at the poker table. I've seen my man turn a very small bankroll into a very big bankroll, and I hope he's been passing the time on the shelf doing so. Nice enough to join us now for a few minutes is my buddy, Rajiv Miraj. Rajiv, it's Anthony and Jude. Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on. Good morning. How are we feeling?
Feeling good. Coming along nicely.
All right. You're still down in Florida, correct?
Yes. I'm doing my rehabilitation in Florida, recovering, and so I'm down here.
You've been making quite a bit of progress over the last few months. Talk about it a little bit and tell us where you're headed.
Yeah, well, I've come a long way from the injury. It was, like we talked about before, it was a severe injury, and I've come a real long way in this road of recovering, and I still have a little way to go, but it definitely looks positive right now for me. At the moment, I'm still in rehabilitation, but also going to the gym and getting fit at the same time. So there's definitely some good steps forward.
Went down the day after your birthday last year, July 10th, several spinal injuries. In the beginning, I know we had spoken a few months after it had happened on the air. You came on, and you had mentioned being a little down, you know, not really in the swing of the sport and watching the races. You and I spoke for a little while on Thursday. That's changed now. Paying a lot more attention. What'd you think about this Triple Crown trail?
Well, as from a spectator's point of view, since I was a spectator this year, it was very exciting with the Triple Crown. It's funny because you were talking about Karen, and it was great for me to just sit back and watch the races and see a bunch of my friends participating and having good chances to win and cheering them on from the outside. And as far as the races go, it was good. Some great horses competing on the racetrack with Nyquist and Exaggerator and Creator. It made for a good Triple Crown series, I thought. Three different horses winning. It just showed the competitive nature of the sport and made it very exciting.
It was so great to see you down at Gulfstream this winter and actually going to the races and cheering on your relatives' horses and stuff, because I know it's sometimes hard when you can't ride to go to the track, but you really seem to enjoy yourself this winter, and I was really pleased to see that.
Thank you. It's really hard subconsciously, no matter how much I try to be positive and stuff, you know, subconsciously it's hard because you can't really get to do what you love doing, in my case, which is going out and riding and being able to participate in the races. But at least I can go. I'm lucky enough that I can go and see the races and still enjoy the sport from a different aspect, even though it's not in my preferred way. But I still love horse racing, and I love to see my family do good, like you say. And they're all active down here in Florida, so it gives me a good reason to go to the track and support them and cheer them on and enjoy the races.
You know, few people root harder for you than I do to see you back in the saddle one day soon, hopefully. That became a little more important for me after I listened to the Dubai World Cup coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, because I would like to keep my job for a few more years, and I don't want you stealing it from me, because you were very good with us here for Dubai World Cup night. So I need you to get healthy, and I need you to get back so I can have some job security here at HRRN, Raj.
Well, you're one of the best at what you do. You don't have to worry about me. I might be one of them one-hit wonders, you know?
I don't know.
my next time on the air, I might flop really bad.
I don't think
you're
so.
You're going to bounce next time? You think you're going to bounce next time?
Yeah, I might bounce.
You've had plenty of time to recover from that radio show. You could run well fresh anytime. So it was great. Yeah. It was great having you on. We really enjoyed it. I think, you know, between the two of us, Anthony and I are literally your two biggest fans, and maybe we have to include Graham Motion in there, but he would look like a slice of ham on a French roll if you put the three of us together. And but between those three guys, they're always in your corner, and it was so much fun to do the show with you. We really had a blast.
Oh, I had a blast. I couldn't have spent my Dubai day any better than with you guys on the air. You and Mike, and it was a great experience for me as well to have a different to try something new, I guess.
We're talking with Rajiv Miraj. Raj, walk us through a day, through a typical day in rehab for you right now.
Well, a typical day in rehab is like a hour session a day, and when I start, it's right now it's a lot of light core building exercises and light weights and squats, stuff like that that will build your core, strengthen your core, because what the doctors try to do right now is get the core strong to stabilize the spine, I guess. And once your core is strong, you get a better stability in your spine, and that, you know, that makes it all stronger. And they just do a lot of different exercises to try to build the core. Once I get over that hump where my core is strong and stuff, they'll start to intensify the workout. But for now, pretty much it's just all core building exercises.
How time consuming is it?
It's not really time consuming. Honestly, because I'm only doing a couple sessions a week and hour sessions, more of the rehabilitation has to be done away from what they're giving me there at the rehab center. So I have to come home and I do Pilates and other exercises, and plus I go to the gym and also do more exercises to try to get stronger faster and get my body in good health. So if I go by the pace of the rehab that they're providing for me, it's going to be a super long process, and it's not going to get me anywhere that I need to be. So I'm having to do a lot of other stuff on the side, on my end of it.
Do you get to go swimming at all?
Yes. Well, that helps a lot with mobility. So I have a swimming pool at my house in Florida, so I've been using that and going swimming as a part of my rehab.
Any plans to come north at all during Saratoga?
I really don't have any immediate plans of coming to Saratoga, but, you know, I don't know where it's going to take me. Depends on how my healing goes. I'm feeling very good at the moment. So, you know, at this point, I don't know what to expect in my health. I don't want to put anything in front of me and then be disappointed. So I just kind of go with it day to day, and that's how I kind of treat my life, take it day by day right now. So I don't know. If I feel good, I might go to Saratoga for a little bit to get on horses. I don't know. Maybe.
That would be exciting.
It's good to. That would be great. It's good to hear you in good spirits, and take care of yourself and get yourself better. And we can't wait to see you. Believe me, I look forward to the day when I get to cash a ticket on Rajiv Miraj or curse you out for getting one beat. I can't wait for it to happen. And just take you apart on the radio.
Either way, it won't be the first time. I'm sure you've had cash tickets on me, and I'm sure you have cursed me out. So.
I have many, many times on both ends, my friend. Raj, before we let you go, you know, I gotta ask, you keeping that poker game tight?
Yeah. I mean, with so much time on my hands, I got to be doing something, right?
So, yeah, I'm not surprised what something right is. Now. All right. Well, I look forward to those. That's the third thing I look forward to doing. Cashing a ticket, berating you, and beating you at the hold'em table.
All right.
Good luck with
I
the
think
third
all
one.
All three is going to happen.
Raj, get well. Keep getting
thank
better.
You, thank
Stay
you,
well. Man. Stay in touch. We'll talk to you soon. We'll get you back on down the line soon. Regards to Angie and everyone, and keep getting better, buddy.
Thank you, and thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate talking to you guys, and it's always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
You got it, buddy. The great Rajiv Miraj, getting better. Be at a racetrack one day soon. Coming to you. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will wrap up a spectacular Saturday morning here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich, is Ed speaking?
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Power.
A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by three.
Passion.
A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's five lengths clear at the eighth pole.
Performance.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Gainesway Stallion of Fleet Alex. A champion on the racetrack, now a proven sire with 52 black type horses, 13 graded winners, 30 black type winners, and progeny earnings of $32 million. His seven Grade 1 winners include Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, Travers winner of Fleet Express, and Charleray, a game winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. On the racetrack, a Fleet Alex was a precocious two-year-old, winning his first four starts, including the Grade 1 Hopeful. At three, he dominated the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, winning by a combined 11 and three-quarter lengths. A Fleet Alex, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Pen Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Into the stretch with a quarter to go. Three quarters, 1 minute 12, and 2/5 seconds. Z Royal just clings on Uncle Walter. Here's Tom's Ready and Mo Tom charging down the center of the track. Pinnacle Peak is fifth, Leno 16th. It's Tom's Ready and Mo Tom. Tom's ready and Mo Tom of GNB Racing 1-2. It's Mo Tom and Corey Lettery. Mo Tom pulled away from Tom's ready. Uncle Walter third, Destin fourth, then Z Royal, Pinnacle Peak, Chris Strap Road, Bending Fences, and Tarpon Bay Road was always outrun.
Staten Island's own John G. Dooley on the call of the LeCompte. Mo Tom got the money that day this past winter at the fairgrounds. He'll try and do it again in the Buckeye State in today's Ohio Derby at Thistle Downs. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. I'm the Big A. Anthony Stabile sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Jude Feld, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, with me on a spectacular Saturday morning. Lots of stakes action, Jude, this weekend. When I did the Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview with the Uber Capper Ellis Star last night, it was the first time in a long time we visited eight different racetracks on the Weekend Stakes preview this weekend.
Yeah, it's easily done. There's a lot of good racing all over the country, and it was a lot of fun looking at the races for Saturday. I enjoyed it.
And of course, you can get all of Jude's thoughts on the stakes action this weekend over at PopeJude.com. Head over there to grab yourself a pick sheet available for purchase over at PopeJude.com. We'll give you three stakes here. We'll start here at Belmont Park. They'll run the Bed of Roses for the 60th time. It's a grade three going seven furlongs for the fillies and mares. Just a field of six, but we do have the defending Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint champion, Wavell Avenue, in here, Jude.
Yeah, you know, she's an interesting filly. That Breeders' Cup performance kind of came out of nowhere for me, but it certainly was impressive over La Verdad. It's etched in my mind watching her come out of the clouds. I didn't even know who she was. I'm going, who's that horse? She was not on my radar that day. But her two subsequent efforts have been just kind of so-so, arguably both in grade ones, but she got beat by Sheer Drama, who's one of the best fillies in training, and Terrace, certainly no slouch. She's going to have to rebound today. The 7/8 may help her. She's got an okay record going seven furlongs. She's got a very good record at Belmont Park. There's some things to like about her, but she's coming off another little rest. So I don't know if she's had issues or what Chad's doing with her, but we'll see how she runs today.
She figures to take a bulk of the action. West Coast Chick for Nick Zito. Nick's still looking for his first win of the Belmont meet. He's up over right around 0 for 34 or 0 for 35 at this point. West Coast Chick's a filly that's turned the corner in 2016 after some really poor efforts. The three efforts in 2015 were all abysmal. And then she's really turned it around this year, won by a nose, two back, a solid second in the Vagrancy after setting the pace behind Paula Silver Lining, who's a multiple graded stakes winner. Looks like she's a controlling speed in here.
Yeah, there's no question that she's going to make the lead. My question about her is the distance. She's only run 7/8 once, and it wasn't a very good performance, but that was in that skein of three bad races in a row that she ran, actually four bad races in a row. But she's a better filly now, and maybe she can hold on. Her last race was pretty good, finishing second in the Vagrancy, but you know, she is going to be in front, and that's always dangerous. Her jockey, Manny Franco, better than an empty saddle, and he got to know her last time out. I always think that's important.
Yeah, Bar of Gold, the New York bred, taking on Older Company. Something she has grown accustomed to for the better part of her career. She's run against Open Company 4-for-4 against statebreds. She's never lost to statebreds. She's never beaten... Well, I shouldn't say she's never beaten, but she's never won an Open Company race. Now, she's kept some pretty salty company. You see Cavorting in her running lines three times. Paul, a silver lining in the distaff. No shot first off the layoff against Stonetastic down at Gulfstream Park. She won going a mile last time against those state breds. Cuts back now to what very well may be her best distance.
Yeah, I think that's a big handicapping factor with her. She's, you know, she's always had a lot of talent. I've always liked Bar of Gold. I managed to catch her a couple times when she won, and I think the drop back's going to help her. She's certainly, you know, bred in the purple. She's by Medaglia d'Oro, arguably one of the best, if not the best, sires in the country. And he's you know, got horses that can do it all. They run short, they run long, they run dirt, they run turf. And this filly, you know, she's got talent. So I think she's in a good spot. I like her 117 pounds. She's getting 6 pounds from Wavell Avenue. That's not going to hurt her any. And she seems to me to be the top filly in here, but there's plenty of contention in this race.
Yeah, By the Moon's a grade one winner at Belmont. She won the Frisette as a two-year-old back in 2014. Mila comes in on a three-race win streak for Brett Calhoun. And Pangburn, who's an interesting one as well, she's never sprinted in a 14-race career. She'll run less than a mile for the first time in start number 15 today for Tony Dutcho. Another one like Zito, numbers not as huge, just 0 for 12 for Dutro, but he's still looking for his first win of this Belmont Park meet as well. That's the six. They'll go 7 furlongs in the Bed of Roses handicap. We keep talking about the Ohio Derby. Let's sink our teeth into it a little bit. Again, a mile and an eighth, 10 three-year-olds going to chase $500,000. And you'd have to think in here, Jude, off the Triple Crown trail, Mo Tom's going to be a pretty big favorite.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, he's run against, you know, the top horses, and he's acquitted himself well on occasion. He's had those unfortunate trips, and, you know, a lot of people got down on Corey Lannery after those trips, but Tom Amos stuck with them, and things just didn't work out. But they've regrouped. They've you know, got Javier Cassiano to ride him for this race. I think it's put up or shut up time for Mo Tom. He better run a good one today, or we can just scratch him off the list as a horse that never lived up to his expectations.
Yeah, the rider change is something that I think is going to attract a ton of money to Mo Tom, and I got to be honest with you, I don't know if the rider change is going to make that huge of a difference today. Look, I'm a big Javier Castellano fan, and I do not like the way Corey Lannery rode this horse for the most part. And should it help? Yeah, but you know, this horse is a slave to pace. He needs a pretty fast pace to kick into. And Thistledown, not really a place that it conjures images of Silky Sullivan-esque last to first runs. You know, you normally need a little bit of speed at the very least. And, you know, I don't see, unless Mo Don't Know really comes blasting out of there for Jeffrey Radosevich and Luch Racing, unless Mo Don't Know comes blasting out of there, he may find himself behind the eight ball again, Mo Tom.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever a horse lacks early speed, they're at a disadvantage. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And even sometimes when it looks like there's, you know, five or six really tough early speeds, you still have a lot of ground to make up. Horse racing is a game of real estate. And, you know, you don't want to give any real estate away. And a lot of times those horses that lag early, they just have a hard time getting up. You're at the mercy of the track condition. You're at the mercy of the pace. So, you know, you never want to take a very short price on a stone closer, I don't think. I think the horse is going to get the best trip is Adventist. You know, and he's when you look at his form, you know, you hear his name, you've seen him run against some of the household name horses, but you don't really realize, you know, he's been right there with all of them. And he's never run a bad race in his life. He's a very good horse. And I'm a big Leah Giarmati fan. I think sometimes she doesn't get the credit she deserves for being a good trainer, a disciple of the chief, Alan Jerkins. And one thing I really liked about Adventist today, Leah Giarmati wins at 22% clip when she takes the blinkers off a horse. And she's taking the blinkers off Adventist today. And I think that may help him. It may open up a whole new world to this horse. And then I like Aaron Grider riding. You know, Aaron's won races all over the world. He's a very, very talented jockey. And, you know, he doesn't get as many mounts as he used to, but he knows how to get it done on a big stage. And this is the kind of race that, you know, can make or break a year for him, because the purse is pretty hefty. So I think Adventist has a big chance today.
I went to the outside in here. Decorated Soldier, I think, is going to work out a good trip off of Mo Don't Know. I can't imagine Johnny V being too far back. I think he almost has to break for position from post 10. And I could see him getting this horse into the game early. You know, the Peter Pan was a strange race. This horse was caught wide most of the way, down the long back stretch and you know, coming out of the chute. And I feel like the turns, the two-turn race to me was his best race, the Northern Spur. He attended the pace, made a move down the backside into the turn, and really dug in despite being wide around there. And I think this is a horse that's going to appreciate a return to two turns, work out a good trip. I don't think Johnny went there for the I don't even know what Cleveland is famous for, culinarily speaking.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I would have to ask Ed DeRosa. But I think this one's going to work out the right trip today. And I know he's 12-1 morning line, which is, you're the king of wishful thinking if you think you're going to get Johnny V and Fletcher to pay $25 in the Ohio Derby. But I would be willing to take half of that price.
Yeah. So, you know,
if I can get 6-1, I'd be happy.
I think Johnny V might be the key to the whole thing. I mean, he did not ride the horse well the last time out.
No, he didn't. You're right.
And so he knows that. And if it was just like the horse ran a nondescript race, then, you know, he probably would beg out, I don't really want to go to Thistledown to ride a horse that I don't think has a chance. But I think Johnny knows he could have done a better job, and he wants to make amends today. And this is a good time as any to do it when there's 500K on the line. So I think he's a major contender. Yeah, the morning line is ridiculous, but, you know, we don't have to worry about that. We'll be able to see the board before the race goes off. But, you know, if Mo Tom's getting hammered and this horse is, you know, being left alone at 6-7-1, and you know, I don't know what price Adventist will be. So it could be a very good betting race, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think definitely. If you don't like Mo Tom, or at very least think he's not a win contender, like it seems like both you and I feel, there's money to be made in that Ohio Derby today. Out of Thistledown, we'll wrap up this Equine Forum with a little trip out to the great race place. Field of Eight, going to go 1.25 in the Gold Cup at Santa Anita. We have the defending champ, Hard Aces. We have the winner of the Big Cap at 1.25, Melatonin, who figures to take a bulk of the money here. And like we talked about earlier, I think Melatonin, with a win or a very good effort, could at least assert himself a little bit in that handicap division as he puts his perfect 3-for-3 record at Santa Anita on the line today.
Yeah, well, he's a nice horse, and of course he's got a fantastic trainer in David Hoffman's. I really think David Hoffman's should be in the Hall of Fame. If you ever looked at the list of races he won, you'd be shocked that he's not in the Hall of Fame. But he's never had a big stable, and he's kind of a low-key guy that just goes out and does his work every day and wins races, you know, like the Belmont Stakes and the Breeders' Cup Classic and on and on and on. So, you know, he knows how to get it done. And, you know, Melatonin's really, you know, been a very nice stable star for Dave this year. And he could continue on his merry way here. I mean, you look at Hard Aces. I mean, he's I don't know if he's hard luck or, you know, if he's just a hard trier or whatever, but he doesn't strike fear in anybody's heart.
No.
Nobody ever scratched because Hard Aces was running. And, you know, it was weird. Baffert was on the fence this week about running Hopportunity. He didn't know if he wanted to run him, didn't run him. Then he said he galloped good yesterday, so he's running him. I never like it when trainers vacillate, and especially Bob Baffert. I mean, geez Louise, here's a guy that, you know, he goes for it with enthusiasm.
Right. With a half million on the line, especially.
Yeah, and he's hemming and hawing, and I maybe nothing. And maybe he's just thinking out loud. I don't know. But he's a horse that, again, he's not all world, I don't think. I mean, he's run some nice races, but he doesn't have to win. The horse that I really am interested in watching run today is Balabali. Because Richard Mandela doesn't enter races for his health. And I think this horse trains great on the dirt and maybe could be the next Mishawish.
We'll see. It should be a fun day of racing across the country. Pick up a sheet over at PopeJude.com. Give us a listen to the podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview, sponsored by ExpressBet. Me and Ellis Starr go over 9 races on this Saturday afternoon. Great job, as always, Jude. A lot of fun doing the show with you.
Yeah, had a great time.
On behalf of Jude Feld and Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Hope you have a very lucky day, folks. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. Thanks for tuning in this morning to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.